ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरे। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो ब्रह्मणे देवाय गोब्राह्मण हिताय च जगत्हिताय कृष्णाय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। टुडे वी आर डिस्कसिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th कैंटो चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 12। धनं च धर्मैक फलं यतो वै ज्ञानं सविज्ञानमनुप्रशन्ति। गृहे सुयुञ्जीत कलेवरस्य मृत्युं न पश्यन्ति दुरन्तवीर्यम्। धनं च धर्मैक फलं यतो वै ज्ञानं सविज्ञानमनुप्रशन्ति। गृहे सुयुञ्जीत कलेवरस्य मृत्युं न पश्यन्ति दुरन्तवीर्यम्। धनं च धर्मैक फलं यतो वै ज्ञानं सविज्ञानमनुप्रशन्ति। गृहे सुयुञ्जीत कलेवरस्य मृत्युं न पश्यन्ति दुरन्तवीर्यम्। ज्ञानं च विज्ञानमनुप्रशन्ति। गृहे सुयुञ्जन्ति कलेवरस्य मृत्युं न पश्यन्ति दुरन्तवीर्यम्। धनं च धर्मैक फलं यतो वै ज्ञानं सविज्ञानमनुप्रशन्ति। గృహేషు యుంజంతి కళేవరస్య మృత్యుం న పశ్యంతి దురంత వీర్యం దానం చ ధర్మేక ఫలం యతో వే జ్ఞానం స విజ్ఞానమను ప్రశాంతి గృహేషు యుంజంతి కళేవరస్య మృత్యుం న పశ్యంతి దురంత వీర్యం. మాతజీ what word meaning translation and purport by his divine by the disciples of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Dhanam, wealth, cha, also dharma ka phalam, whose only proper fruit is religiosity. Yatah, from which the religious life. Why? Indeed, jnanam, knowledge, savijnanam, along with direct realization, anu prashanti, and subsequent liberation from suffering. Grihesu, in their homes, yunjanti, they utilize kalevarasya of their material body, mrityum the death, na pashyanti they cannot see, duranta insurmountable, viryam the power of which. Translation: the only proper fruit of acquired wealth is religiosity, on the basis of which one can acquire a philosophical understanding of life that eventually matures into direct perception of the absolute truth and thus liberation from all suffering. Materialistic person, however, utilize their wealth simply for the advancement of their family situation. They fail to see that insurmountable death will soon destroy the frail material body. Purport: those things that comes under the control of the proprietor are called dhanam or wealth. When a foolish person becomes addicted to spending all of his hard-earned money to increase the prestige of his material body and family, he is no longer able to see how death is steadily approaching his own body as well as the temporary bodies of his family and friends. Mrityu sarvaharaschaham. The Supreme Lord appears as all-powerful death, which destroys all material situations. Actually, even in family life, one should use one's wealth for spiritual advancement of oneself and one's family. In the Krishna consciousness movement, there are many religious householders who live a simple, peaceful, and use their wealth for arranging Krishna conscious activities at home and for helping the renounced brahmacharis and sannyasis who are actively preaching Krishna consciousness in public places. Such householders, even those who are not able to dedicate 100% of their energy to Krishna consciousness, gradually acquire a very solid understanding of the spiritual principles of life and eventually becomes transcendentalist, firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Thus they free themselves from all the anxieties and of conditional life. namely birth, old age, disease and death. Life without Krishna consciousness is actually poverty, but the poverty-stricken materialist whose intelligence is limited cannot perceive that real wealth is the expansion of consciousness up to the highest level of Krishna consciousness, love of Godhead. Such persons raise their children to be just like animals, having as their only goal false prestige and material sense gratification. Such materialistic householders fear that excessive interest in spiritual life may damage the ambition of their children to acquire false material prestige. Actually, death will smash all of the endeavors and plans of such spiritually impoverished materialist. If family life and wealth are used for Krishna consciousness, one will learn to discriminate between the eternal and the non-eternal, between spirit and matter, between bliss and anxiety, and thus the living entity will become liberated and go beyond more theoretical knowledge and acquire the highest perfectional benediction of eternal Krishna conscious life. Limited sensory knowledge, pratyaksha jnana, is useless without theoretical spiritual knowledge, paroksha jnana, which gradually matures with careful cultivation into direct realized knowledge of the soul, a paroksha jnana. The word anuprasanti in this verse indicate that by spiritual knowledge, vijnanam, one achieves the most sublime state of eternal peace and bliss, far beyond the dreams of the materialistic conditioned soul. Om jnanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshun militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam jena bhutale swayam rupah kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham sri guru Sriyutao Padakamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Pada, Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Datta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. I seek blessing of all the assembled souls devotees, so that I can discuss something on this sloka verse, although Srila Prabhupada's purport is explicitly clear about the purpose of this sloka, and most of you must have understood while I was reading that. But still, nevertheless, just for my purification and for your benefit as well. We'll discuss on this topic. So, first of all, I request you to please accept my greetings and best wishes for happy and prosperous Diwali. And today is also Lakshmi Pujan. And this sloka is talking directly about the wealth, the result of Lakshmi Pujan. Deepavali is also celebrated at Lakshmi Pujan for her mercy in the form of wealth. People, they want wealth, so they worship Lakshmi ji. But little do we know that this Lakshmi in the form of wealth, if it is not utilized in the service of the Lord, can be detrimental for our goal of life, the final goal of life. So this verse we are going to discuss today is all about the utilization of the wealth, dhanam. And the way we use the wealth is going to decide our future destination. Everyone is earning wealth and everyone wants to use the wealth. But we should seek guidance from the scripture. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says that whatever to be done and whatever not to be done, karaniya and akaraniya, tasmat sastra pramanena karya akarya vyavasthito. He instructs to Arjuna that, O Arjuna, just try to execute what is to be done and what is not to be done, not whimsically, what you think the way, but according to the scriptural injunctions. And these scriptures are for all people, in whatever social order, in whatever cadre they may be. It is for everyone. It is not only for a particular class of people or so. It is for everyone. And the scripture says here, the purpose of dhanam. So we'll discuss about this. But before that, let us have a connection up to this sloka, so far what has been discussed. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 10th chapter, it is mentioned there are 10 topics discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. In this Bhagavatam, atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manvantare ishanukatha nirodho mukti rasrayah. In this Bhagavatam, 10 topics are discussed. Topics are sarga. Sarga means a statement of creation of the universe. Visarga means a statement of the sub-creation. And sthanam is the planetary system, the position of the planetary system. Poshanam is the protection or palan. And utaya is the creative impetus. How the creation takes place, that is called utaya. Then manvantar, change of different manvantaras. And ishanukatha, the signs of God. And nirodha, going back home, back to Godhead, how to go. And then the ninth topic that is discussed is mukti or liberation. And tenth is asraya, taking shelter of the Samam Bonam, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in the 11th canto, 11th canto is divided into two parts. First part is discussing about this ninth topic of this sloka, mukti. And next section B, that is second part, discusses about Udhogita. Udhogita. So from chapter 2 to 5, in the discussion of Maharaj Nimi and Navayogendras, this topic of mukti is described in little detail. What is this mukti and how one can achieve it? So, because every one of us are actually entangled into this material world, and every one of us are actually trying to seek or seeking liberation. But we do not know how to go about that, most of us. Those who know, they are far fortunate. And those who do not know, or sometimes they do not know, reason is that, two reasons, either ignorance or second is misinterpretation or misconception. So ignorance is, it is said in Bhagavatam that ignorance doesn't go out of its own automatically. One has to endeavor to remove the ignorance. And how the ignorance can be gone? Ignorance is compared to the darkness. And the darkness can be removed only when there is light. So Agyan can be removed only when there is knowledge. Knowledge that liberates the person, that is the actual knowledge. Knowledge that gives you facilities or understanding how to earn your ahar, nidra, bhay, methun. That is not a proper understanding or that is not a proper knowledge. That is for subsistence of this body. So knowledge means knowledge of Krishna consciousness. That's what Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says that Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanvan Mam Prapadyate. Surrenders unto me. So from that point of view, we have to understand this. So let us understand first, when the topic of mukti has come, we must also understand what is mukti. Many people think that mukti means atyantaki nivritti from dukhas or distresses, liberation from distress and achievement of material happiness. We are getting more and more material happiness, no disease, lot of wealth, lot of dhanam, janam, sundarim, kavitam, like that. But Mahaprabhu says that we should not aspire for that because that's not actually mukti. That is bondage. It keeps us binding here in this material world. So we must understand that. So mukti, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that muktir hitva anyatharupam swarupena vyavasthiti. Mukti anyatharupam muktir hitva anyatharupam swarupena vyavasthiti. That means liberation is the permanent situation of the form of living entity after he goes, gives up the changeable, gross and subtle material bodies. Actually, in the materialistic condition, we are going through different bodies, life after life after life. So these bodies are actually the binding force. They keep us bound into this material world. Body keeps us bound in the material world. We may think that bound means we are bound by ropes or bound by something different. But binding is by this material world. I mean material body. So if a person becomes liberated from the clutches of the material body, that is actually mukti. And then not only becoming free from the body, but swarupena vyavasthiti. So one must understand what is his swarupa also. Right? Swarupa means constitutional position. The living entity's constitutional position is? Very nice. Thank you. Krishnera Nityadas. Krishnera Nityadas means one is eternally servant of Krishna. And a person is called servant when he does the activity of serving. It's not a lip service. It should be actually done. Right? And how we'll do that? So it is said that Raghunath Das Goswami has written a bhajan, Manas Deha Geha Je Kichumor Arpilu Tuva Pade Nanda Kishore. Manas Deha Geha, my mind, my body, Deha, Geha, my homes, my wealth, my family member, everything I offer unto your lotus feet. This is the real understanding of serving the Lord. It should not be, and that is what this sloka is actually trying to discuss. Dhanamcha phalam. Dhanamcha dharmayaka phalam. The purpose of dhana, or the fruit of dhana, or the wealth, is to get or become engaged into dharmic or religious activities. Religious activity. That means dhan should be utilized only for the purpose of propagating Krishna consciousness. If anyone utilizes the wealth for any other purposes, That is not the actual fruit of why we acquire dhanam or why we get dhan. Of course, dhan also comes by Lord's mercy only. Lord's mercy only. So Lord provides us the facility so that we can go back home, back to Godhead. But because of our misconception, our ignorance, what we do, instead of going back and serving the Lord, what we do, we actually get entangled into this material world by that same resource. By that same resource. So resources should be utilized only in the service of the Lord. And that is why it is clearly mentioned that anya abhilasita shunyam. One should never desire anything other than serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this service attitude should not be abstracted by any karma or any jnana, because people are very much inclined to give justification why they want to do or why they are doing certain activities. And they themselves, by this justification, convince themselves and convince others also. So one must understand all this reality. So, Nimi and Navayogendra Samvad is quoted by Srila Narada to Vyasdev, the father of Lord Krishna, in response to his inquiry about the Bhagavat Dharma or execution of the Bhagavat Dharma, execution of which will liberate from the bondage of material existence. Actually, although Vasudev, he is the father of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in being father or being so much closely related to Lord Krishna, still he was doubtful whether he will go back home, back to Godhead and achieve the purpose of his being here. And that is why he inquired from a sadhu, what is to be done? He inquired from a sadhu, what is to be done? And that sadhu was Narada. See, we know that, we have already heard about all these things in the previous classes. And in response, what is Bhagavat Dharma? Narada Rishi explains to him the samvad that took place, the dialogues or the deliberations that took place between Maharaj Nimi and this Navayogendras, the nine sannyasis. Nimi Maharaj asked nine different questions which were answered by each of the Yogendras. And the eighth question that was asked by Maharaj Nimi about the destination of those who for most part of their life never worship Lord or never surrender to Lord. So he is asking what will happen to them, where they will go. In fact, in fourth chapter, where Krishna describes about the transcendental knowledge about himself, janma karma chame divyam, and after very clearly delineating about himself, Arjuna developed a little doubt. He said that, Lord, you are very clearly mentioning about yourself, and it is very explicit that person should always surrender unto you and serve you. But there are many people who are not actually surrendering to you or not inclined to come to you and serve you. Why? What is the purpose? Then Krishna says that kamastastha hritajnana prapadyante anya devata in 7th chapter. That those who are actually enamored or illusioned or attracted by fulfilling their materialistic desires, they feel going to the shelter of the Lord is detrimental to fulfill their desire. Little do they know that Bhagavatam clearly says that akama sarva kamava moksha kama udaradi tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushaha param. Whatever you want, you just take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all things will be done. And little do they know that even the demigods, whatever the results they grant, they are all coming from the Lord only. They are just distributors on behalf of the Lord. Right? They are just distributors on behalf of the Lord. But because of our ignorance, because of our foolishness, we do not understand this reality. And actually we are fearful because we are so much enamored by sense enjoyment in this material world. This is the problem. So this question was answered by Chamasa, the eighth Yogendra, from verse 2 to 18 in this chapter, in this fifth chapter, where the topic of mukti or liberation is discussed. In this section, Chamas has delineated that those who are ignorant deserve mercy, and those who are learned but fail to respect Lord fall from their position. There are two type of people. Mudho na abhijanati manusim tanum asritam. There are murkha and mudha. What is the essential difference between murkha and mudha? Actually, it is same thing from general point of view. But there are a lot of difference. Murkha is one who is ignorant. And if he is told, he will accept things and he will work accordingly. But mudha is one that even after knowing the reality, he is bent upon not to understand. That is called adamant. I will not accept this. Right? I will not, even if it is there, but I will not accept it. That is called mudha. So there are two types of people. There are foolish people. They need this thing, mercy. And once they are given that mercy, that is why Rupa Goswami in Bhagavatam, Rupa Goswami also actually mentioned it in Nectar of Instruction as well as Nectar of Devotion, and Bhagavatam also says that one should have four types of dealing. One should associate with the Lord, serve the Lord, prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha. One should actually create his relation with the Lord in the loving association, prema, then maitri, and then one should associate with equals for knowledge, kripa, and those who are little ignorant and little junior, if you are more knowledgeable, then we should give them knowledge. That is called kripa. And those who are adamant kind of people, ignorant as well as adamant, so and envious, from such people one should try to keep distance, respect from a distance. Don't just go and hit that person, but keep a safe distance from such personalities. Then only a person is safeguarded. So spirituality is a culture. Spirituality is a culture, and the culture has to be adopted and practiced. Then only one will get the result of spirituality. Those who are adamant, they don't understand the reality, they don't accept the reality, the final result for them is that they will again fall into the material world. They will again come back into the material world, and then they will again suffer the pangs of material world. Sometimes they will be in the heavenly planet, sometimes they will be in the middle planetary system, sometimes they will go to the hellish planet system. And this is how they will just Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino, keep rotating throughout the universe, from one place to another place to another place to another, but never will be able to get the result of this thing. So Chamasa's discussion highlights the lifestyle pattern which becomes the cause of liberation or bondage from the material existence. So it is our lifestyle that will, and lifestyle is also practiced consciously, even if it is unconscious. See, the small children, if they come to the temple, their parents are practicing, they also do something like this. They also offer lamb, they also bow down to the Lord, they also chant Hare Krishna. And gradually, once they will develop, then they will continue this same kind of thing. So this is a culture. So culture should be practiced. We can give example. We ask the small children to memorize the slokas. They don't understand the meaning of the sloka. Right? But when they memorize it and when they are grown up, when they read that sloka again, then they can understand that, oh, I had memorized this sloka in my childhood. Now let me find out what is the meaning of this sloka. And once they get the meaning of that sloka, then they become even more fixed to that. So that is why it is a culture. The words discussed so far basically described the materialistic way of life, which is practiced due to ignorance and misconception of the reality. Thus, this topic of lifestyle keeps grounded to the material realm of existence. So this is very important to understand that lifestyle is very important, and the materialistic lifestyle, whatever we may do, will not be able to take off from this ground. So one has to practice these things. And in Bhagavatam, there are six types of, actually Vishnu Puran it is mentioned, six types of opulences are mentioned. And it's called Aishwarya. So Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Sasasriya Gyan Vairagyoscheva Shannam Bhagaitingana. So there are six types of opulences, and one of that opulence is Sriya. Sriya means wealth or dhana. So, although all type of opulences, whether it is beauty, whether it is renunciation, whether it is knowledge, whatever it may be, needs to be surrendered to the Lord, and one should utilize that for the pleasure of the Lord. But normally what happens, if we are very powerful, we use it for our own prestige. If we are very beautiful, we use it for our own purposes. If we are very knowledgeable, then we try to glorify our own self. This is actually hitch. Normally, it is said that one should not become proud of the borrowed plume. Right? This knowledge, etc., all these things, they are kind of borrowed plume. Borrowed from whom? Borrowed from the Supreme Lord. Right? The Lord has given that to us for some purpose. And the purpose is that we should utilize it into His service. Eko bahusham yo vidadhati kama. Lord has actually become many and granted His many qualities to many other living entities. For what? Vidadhati kama. And that is why He is very clearly mentioning in Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. Suhridam sarva bhutanam jyatvamam shantim rakshati. Krishna is Bhoktaram. Right? Why Krishna is telling Bhoktaram? Because if you become Bhoktaram, you will become entangled. If one try to become Bhoktaram of his own activities, then he will become entangled. And to liberate us, Krishna is mercifully telling to us that you to understand. Why? Who is actual enjoyer of the activities that is being? And why Krishna is enjoyer? Because he is proprietor of everything. He is proprietor of everything. We are just caretaker of certain amount of his property. And we should use that in the service of that original master. The caretaker should not use the property for his own this thing. Otherwise he becomes offender. So, one of the opulence is Sriya, wealth. Actually, all type of opulences are bestowed to the living entity to engage that in the service of the Lord and make his life perfect. But due to ignorance or misconception, we fail to do so. The great soul like Narada, Chamasa, Srila Prabhupada reminds us time and again for this purpose. Nayogendra Chamas, in this connection, delineates the purpose of wealth or dhana and describes its effect. We all earn wealth by different methods, either legitimate method or illegitimate method, and spend it. Most often for our enjoyment, and little do we know this enjoyment tendency is perpetuating our existence in this material world, birth after birth. So, this knowledge we should learn from this Bhagavatam and try to understand that. By saying dhanam cha dharma ek phalam in this sloka, Sri Chamasi is actually emphasizing that wealth must only be used for serving the Supreme Lord for His pleasure. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, third chapter, yagya artho karmano. Yagya artho. Yagya is yagyo vaisah Vishnu. So, yagya is Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. And yagya arthe, for His purpose, for His pleasure, one should utilize the artha. Yagya arthe. Anyatha, loko ayam karma bandhana. If a person will try to utilize anything, either for himself or for his extended self may be his country, his family, or maybe his universe also sometimes. These are called extended self. So either if he uses it for himself or for the extended self, he will be under bondage, karma bandhana. So we may think I am using my own legitimate money for my pleasure and I am on the right track. But that's not the correct. I'll take 5 minutes more and give you a story. The story I had read it into Back to Godhead magazine. And I'm not going to go into the detail of the story. But this story is about an Indian couple, those who have migrated to America. They were from Andhra. And they were very aristocratic, very well settled people. Wife was a doctor and husband was an engineer, computer engineer. And they had amassed a lot of money. They have earned a lot of money. They have also owned their own bungalows and many properties in US also. In West Virginia, I think they were there. So, one day what happened, they were living their life very happily. They had kids, they had cars, they had bungalow, everything. Suddenly one day what happened, the husband developed some chest pain. And then wife took him to that same hospital where she was serving. She was also kind of heart specialist only. And she took husband there and then he was diagnosed. And when he was diagnosed, then it was diagnosed that he has a massive heart attack. And there were so much blockage developed into his arteries. So there was an immediate operation or surgery needed to remove that blockage. But since the wife was also same kind of professional, but she thought that he is my relative and she did not do that, she asked her friends to take care of his her husband. And then they took him into the operation theater. And while he was there in the operation theater, because this lady was a doctor herself, she knew what is going to happen. So she was not so much panicked. So she went to the market to bring something. Maybe something required. She went to market and there she receives a call from the friends that your husband has left body. And then she rushed back to the hospital and she saw that husband was unconscious and they were trying to bring him back by pumping the heart or so many other methods. But this person was not coming to consciousness. So after they became completely dejected that he's actually left. They were about to leave and they were about to make that death certificate. Suddenly this person comes out of the unconsciousness stage to consciousness stage. And then he was treated and within a week he becomes all right. And he was discharged. And the wife was taking him to home. They were going in the car. And in the car, this person said, take me to a hotel. I want to go to a big hotel. The wife said that, just now you have been discharged from the hospital, why you want to go to a hotel? And he says that, I want to go to the hotel and enjoy it. You take me there, otherwise I will go on my own. So wife thought that since he has already developed some this disease and maybe under pressure. So she took him to the hospital, to the hotel, big hotel. And there he spent money like anything and started doing all other kinds of activities. That which was not doing before. So this wife became disturbed that after this sickness, the husband has become completely averse. Why? What is happening to this? But he was not telling her anything why he was doing all this kind of activity. Spendthrift and started doing activities that he would never do. They were actually kind of pious family. But he started doing things which were completely impious, etc. So this lady became little dejected. And she had a friend. And that friend was a Krishna conscious devotee. She was also Indian. So she was having Krishna conscious programs at her home. And she used to invite this lady, this doctor lady, to come to the program. And she would say that, okay, I will come. But she would never go there for some reason or other. But this day, she was very dejected, she was thinking very disturbed. So she initially thought that, let me go, this is today's Friday or maybe someday, the program day. Let me go because she was calling so that I can have some little this thing. And she went there. Somehow or other she went there, and when she knocked on the door, her friend opened the door. And when she entered into, she saw a devotee, saffron clad devotee, sitting on a this thing, and there was a projector. And on the projector, they were actually showing some slides, and this person was discussing. So that day, they were discussing about, it was actually six session course, and the devotee who was discussing this was our Jugal Kishore Prabhu. So he was discussing about six session course, and this lady sat down there for some time, and then she liked it. And then she came home, and told her husband that I had been to my friend's home, and there they are discussing very nice Bhagavad Gita. You also please come. So the husband said that, oh, I know Bhagavad Gita. I don't want to go anywhere. I'll better go to hotel and enjoy there. So she was actually pushing him to come, but he was not coming. But one day, somehow or other, she happened to bring him. And that day they were actually discussing the science of karma. Karma ka vigyan. They were discussing science of karma. And this person came and sat down, and then they were talking about this hellish planet, which kind of soul goes there, all these things. So the program got over and they were returning home, and then this husband spoke to the wife that, see, I wanted to tell you something since I had gone for that operation, and that is disturbing me. I wanted to tell you, but I was not actually telling you, but today after hearing this discussion, I will tell you what I actually undergone. And then he mentioned to her that when on the day I had got this heart attack, that day I left my body. And I was taken to hellish planet, Narkloka. And there I saw many people, they were suffering here and there, and some people were being thrown into this big pot with boiling hot oil. And then I went there and I started thinking that, why I am here? I am a pious person, I did pious activities. And why I am into this hell? It appears to be hell, but why I have come here? I earned my wealth in a proper way. I spent my wealth in a proper way. What did I do to come here? And then while I was thinking like this, suddenly I came back. Suddenly I came back, but I remembered that thing. So I came back here and I thought that if after doing all kind of pious activity also I have to go to hell only, then why not enjoy the body? Why not enjoy the body? Right? Then when they heard in the lecture that whether you do pious activity or you do impious activity, for both the activities you have to go to Yamraj. You have to first go to Yamraj. And from there you will be escorted either to the places where you can enjoy certain things or to the places where you can suffer. But he was thinking that my conception was that doing pious activity will get us back to home, back to Godhead. But that has not happened. So why this is? Then when they understood from that lecture, they started their utilizing their wealth not for any pious or impious activities, but for cultivating Krishna consciousness. They started a program at their own home. They started cooking for the devotees. They started spending their money for spreading Krishna consciousness. And now they are saying that we are a very happy family, and we are sure that by doing this we'll go back home, back to Godhead. So by hearing such statements, we should also change ourselves. It should not be that, okay, we also will experience one day this kind of thing and then we'll come back. It may have happened for him, it may not happen for us. It may not happen for us. Krishna has given all these things in the scripture. And if we believe scripture and we try to take a U-turn, wherever we are, just try to take a U-turn. Right? Whatever opulence in the, whatever form we have got, either in the form of dhana, in the form of knowledge, in the form of some good qualities. Everything should be utilized for propagating Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, the perfection of knowledge is if you start preaching Krishna consciousness, you spread Krishna consciousness. Your propagation, your perfection of your any aptitudes is utilizing it for serving the Lord. Prabhupada engaged George Harrison into glorifying Krishna by singing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And George Harrison from the Beatle group, he just sang that. And what happened? He could bring so much revolution in the lives of the impious people. Many people became devotees. And most of them, they were hippies, but they returned back home, back to Godhead, just by following this lifestyle, culture. So dhana means any opulence that should be utilized in the purpose of. But people, Chamas Rishi says that, people, out of ignorance, they utilize their hard-earned money for the pleasure of their body. Little do they know that the death is coming to snatch the body away. There is once sloka mentioned. Asanam me, vasanam me, jaya me, bandhu vargo me, iti me me kurvanam, kalavirka hanti purusha ajam. You may say, this is mine, that is mine, I'll utilize it for my purpose, I'll utilize for this purpose. But what happened? In saying this me, who says me? The goat. Me means mine. This is mine, that is mine. And what happens? The time rupee, the wolf of time comes and devour the purushajam, that bakra who is actually saying me, right? So similarly, whatever we will earn for us, for our children, we must know that myself also is going to leave this body and my children are also going to leave this body. But this dhana, if we utilize it for propagating Krishna consciousness, for the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, then this will be perfection of our life and this will take us back home, back to Godhead. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. ग्रंथरा श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय हरे कृष्ण या